When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Last time you won it,
May. But
May, okay, it's been a long time. Mayday, mayday. That's how it was out there. You're like, mayday! If Jet would have beat Chase that moto, it would have been a whole different scenario. Like, he would have said, yeah, well, I'm still good, but damn, the only reason I won that first moto, he probably was struggling. He probably fell. But him beating him at second moto makes him think, well, yeah, I knew I'm better. So I'm like, damn, all right. You know, you didn't look that good in high school, but damn, girl, you look good. You know, so that's how Hayden was coming. And second moto, you know what? Lights came on, makeup fell off. And you're like, all right, well, maybe I'll just, you know, I don't know. I won't tell all my friends about her. Let's see how it happens. And that's what happened. But he leaves there with the red plate. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind, baby. Round 29, the first race of the playoff. The playoffs? 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 Yes, the first round of the playoffs. We had 28 races before. Now we got a three-race format, and it's the playoffs. A lot of money on line. There's a lot of money on the line for this weekend.
I like money.
A lot of money on the line for a championship, but even more than that, what's on the line is to be the first. To be the first person to win this inaugural season, or be the first person to knock off Jet Lawrence and the Lawrence boys. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find out. This boy showed up in Charlotte. The crowd showed up. The weather was good. Track was, it was okay. So you know what we got to do. Let's get down to it. Round 29, first round of the playoffs. Charlotte, let's do it, people. So all year, we've been talking about the playoffs. And I think up until literally like recently, maybe this week, it was the first time I think everybody figured it out. And even still going into the race, the riders were unsure. Like, we kind of knew the way this thing was supposed to be laid out. We know it was three rounds. We know how the point's supposed to work. We know there's money involved. But I think it was the first time that the fans really understood it. We're here. We broke it down. You know how much money on the line on each race and as far as championship. And then coming into Charlotte, which is a place we haven't raced at before at this particular stadium, there was a lot of unknowns, and it was nice to be able to get there and let it play out. Well, the track itself was, it was kind of a traditional, you know, supercross, like a, you know, speedway style supercross. You know, I think we were, I was expecting a little bit more. I think coming into it, since Charlotte's a four-way drag strip, I thought they were going to use more of the drag part, but I come to find out that they actually couldn't. They weren't allowed to put dirt on their dragsters because of all the wiring and stuff. So that kind of makes sense of why they didn't do more of that. And the way the track was laid out, it seemed like a good idea, but if you notice, like, there was walls down the inside of the rhythm section. Like, when they came up by the mechanics area and they went back across it, you didn't realize the walls played a big factor in how they had to lay the track out. So, you know, at first I was looking like, man, it seems like it's going to be one-lined, because when you start putting those chicanes in, you know, as I talked about before, you put a chicane down here on one end, it makes the whole, you know, half the track one-lined, and that's what we saw. So passing was going to be difficult. And I felt like with the track layout, it's almost one of those tracks that it'd be fun to ride. I don't necessarily think it would have been the best to race on, even though we had some good racing. But, you saw in both classes, the 250 class and 450, it was really hard to come up through the back of the pack. Like, you know, guys can, they go down in the first corner, they'll get up to like 12th and then just kind of stay there. And that's because all those other guys, they were running pretty much the same pace. So the way the track was laid out, considering where all the walls were and that they couldn't ride on the four-way part where the drag strip was, where they take off, you know, I think that's all they really had. Like they did what they had to do to work with. And so it was cool. I think the format, I like the format personally. I think the 220-minute motos is a hybrid between Triple Crown and a regular Supercross. It allows the guys to be able to run, like with the layout being the way it was, the track not being super technical and being more open, it allows the guys to run hard for probably like 16 minutes. And then you'll start getting a little bit physical, guys starting getting tired. So you have the point of like, they'll get tired, but they'll also be able to run like they do in a Triple Crown, but they don't have that Triple Crown, like, you know, that third race where it really comes into effect. So I like personally layout for the playoffs. I thought everything turned out really good. I thought that what we saw was Chase Sexton rebounding back to where I expected him to. And we'll get into that. We saw Joe Shimoda continue his confidence in the whole Kawasaki PC team. So overall, the track was laid out great. I think the track made some of the results. They were based off the track. Guys either not being able to come up through the pack or the track being a little bit easier. But at the same time, it allowed those guys to be the best. The best guys did win that day. So you can't say the track was it was non-favorable to whoever's going to be the fastest. They won. Chase was the fastest. Joe was the fastest. Hayden Deegan was fast. So it wasn't like a guy, just random guy went. So overall, good track. It rained a little bit, so it kept the moisture in the dirt. And it could have got a lot slipperier, but Dirtworks did a good job of keeping the moisture in. So yeah, the track. The split lane was cool. Got to give those guys credit. When you have a split lane that big, man, it's hard to time that thing out. And if you paid attention to it, it was going under the tunnel was the fastest way for the like first moto and a half. And then going over the tunnel, the second half of the race was the fastest. And the reason that was is because you just kept carrying more momentum. When that track got slipperier, when you went underneath the tunnel, then you did the 180 and you came back down right before you turned left to go to the mechanics area. When it got slipperier, when those guys landed off that single and turned to go towards the mechanics, it was a lot. You had to be more on the throttle, you know, the track got rougher. So by the going over the tunnel, it puts you in a better angle. So it wasn't necessarily like the speed difference. Like it was still faster to go underneath the tunnel, like to get to that single, but it was faster to go over it once the track got broken down to go over it because you didn't have to stop so much. You had more momentum and you could carry that momentum past the mechanics down into that rhythm section. So it was like you made up the time like from the mechanics hitting that single all the way to the other part because the tunnel jump. So that was really cool. And I know that's really hard to do. And Dirtworks did it. So that was a unique part of the track. So the 250 class, we're going to start there because they were first and it was good. We talked about, I would say, unlike the 450 class, Hunter Lawrence came in this championship as most people's favorite. And me personally, he wasn't my pick. And the reason I said that is because I think he's in a weird spot. You know, Hunter Lawrence is basically won everything all year long. He's won 250 Supercross Championship. He won the Outdoor Championship. And for a guy who's winning his first championships, like I know the feeling of like a championship hangover. Like you're, you know, this playoff, it's new. So to say like, maybe next year, if he does this, then he'll know like, okay, this season's not done until I finish with the playoffs. But in normal guys, like you, the motocross, once you win that championship, like it's over, like the US Open and all that, it's kind of like luxury. So it's new to everyone. So I feel like Hunter Lawrence, even though he was a favorite, it was going to be tough for him because he's going to have to motivate himself on a format that he doesn't like know about. And I don't think you want to win the money, but I don't think everybody really knew how much money was on the line. And we don't really know what the prestige of this winning this championship is. So I think Hunter was in the mindset of kind of like how he was at the last race. Like the circumstance is, I'm going to let the circumstance dictate. Like I'm going to go out there and try to win this race and I want to win this format, but like, I don't want to get hurt. You know, like I've done what I was supposed to do this year and I want to get through this thing and I'm done with 250s. So I'm moving to 450s next year. I don't want this to stop me from getting ready to whoop my brother's ass next year. So it's kind of like, I felt like he was in that mode of a championship guy that, hey, if I'm out there, I'm the best all year. I'm your champion. If I pull a whole shot, I'm probably going to go out there and try to win. But if I don't, then like, I'm just going to do as best as I can. And that's the way it kind of looked like he rode. Like he wasn't that good in practice. And I would say the track setup was a lot of that. There wasn't a lot of separation. And I feel like just like his brother, which we'll talk about him in a second, they missed it on the setup. I think they were more like a supercross style setup. And it just looked like he was struggling with traction. His first crash was 100% is supercross suspension. We saw the pro circuit guy go and do the same thing. And as you watch him coming in the corner, I talked about this a little bit on the race, like everything's fine. And then he just had these two little bumps. No big deal. Outdoor suspension, you wouldn't even notice they were there. But supercross, the bike's up light, you know, supercross, the bike's got to be stiff. So he goes in, it's a little bit wet. And the front end ricochets off that. And then he just loses the front end. That's because he had supercross suspension on it. And when you looked at Hunter's bike, just like his brother, you notice all the bumps on the racetrack. And unlike some of the other bikes, they just look like they were working a little bit better on that. So I think the Honda, or at least, you know, the brothers, they kind of missed it on the setup. Jet bike looked a lot better the second moto. But overall, if your bike's kind of holding you back, there's not a lot of separation on the racetrack. And when you look at all the guys that was fast, they were all the guys, like they were kind of hanging it out. Like Jason Anderson looked good. Hayden Deegan looked really good. You know, Joe Shimoda looked good. The PC guys, the guys that kind of shirt tail flinging, like sometimes sliding out in the rear, like they look like when you watch them, they're charging. Joe Shimoda, we'll talk about him, but you know, he was like a hybrid between both of those. But overall, the guys that was looking like they were trying was the guys that were really going fast. And I think the reason that was because it was like a motocross track in a supercross. It was more motocross than anything else. And if you're riding supercross suspension on a motocross, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And the bike's going to be moving around. And you can't just pick your way around the racetrack off of talent. You got to just go out there and just ride that thing. So I think with Hunter, if it was a regular supercross track and if he knew the format, I think he'd have been better off. But the fact that he fell in the first corner or he fell the first lap in both motos and the track being narrow and there wasn't a lot of separation, I just don't think he was comfortable, you know, having to, you know, push his way up through the pack and there wasn't a lot of separation without him taking a lot of chances. So I think Hunter rode okay. You know, he rode okay, but his results seemed like he rode like he did at the last race in Ironman, that first motor, like he just rode around. I saw Hunter trying. I just saw a guy that if he was going to be trying to win that race, he was going to have to be making mistakes. And there was chances that I don't think he was willing to take because he just wrapped up Supercross Championship and the Motocross Championship. He's moving into the 450 class. He don't really know what the format is. He knows he needs to get every inch and every preparation for this off season. So as much as you want to win this, he wants to win next year even more. And being hurt or having something happen without really knowing what all this thing, like it's a risk that I don't think he's willing to take. And it's not making an excuse. And I don't know 100% if Hunter actually feels this way. It just looked like if I was in this situation, this is what I'd be doing. And so that's what it looked like he rode. And the reason I say that is because if you look at his lap times, he made his way up to, I think, ninth or whatever the first race. But I think he was like 13th fastest, like in the time. Like he wasn't even close to top five. Pull it up for me, Cole. Make sure I'm right.
5 minutes later.
So maybe not 13th, but he was 10th. That's where he finished at. And if you look at on the lap charts for Hunter, like he went down and he made his way up, but then he just kind of stayed around that 13th to like 10th place where I think overall he ended up 9th. But at the end of the race, his lap times at the end of the race was faster than a lot of guys in front of him because he was actually riding good. But speed wise, that's why I said, I think there was a point to where that risk of running that faster pace, he wasn't going to do that, but he was still trying and he wanted to get up, but there was a chance that he was only willing to take, and that's where he got. So I think with Hunter, I said this before, I don't think it's really going to affect him. You know, I don't think it's like in this particular class, just like Hayden Deegan, guys like Joe Shimoda and Hayden Deegan and a lot of these guys, they win this, it could change next year. And every weekend they could change their mindset. Like I believe Joe might walk away with this thing. Like it's going to be between Hayden, Joe, and I believe Hunter is going to win one of these things, but maybe like LA is more like traditional supercross style track. But I think those guys, it could pump them up. Every win they get, they're just going to get better. Where I feel like Hunter, he can go out and get ninth next weekend and then like go out and win the next weekend. Like it's not going to affect what he's doing next year. It's not going to change this 2024 season. The only thing that could change that if he rides and something happens and God forbid he gets hurt. That's the only thing that's going to change him. Whether he wins this or not, Hunter is going to be going in next year just as strong as he was, whether he raced this, won this, lost this, whatever happened. So that was Hunter Lawrence. The reason I talked about him a lot, because he had the red plate up until this weekend. Now, the guy that came out the first moto, Hayden Deegan. Now, we saw this kid have a baby. He had a baby at Washougal. And ever since he had the baby, like, you know, like, he's been feeding him, you know, but, you know, the baby was like, damn, I thought he'd be a little prettier than that. And the reason I say that is because the result. Then, like, you see the baby and you listen to him talk. You're like, damn, that baby's smart. But the results say that baby ugly. So what's going on? And Hayden was, my point is, people, Hayden's been riding really good and he's been riding better than he did at Washougal when he had the baby. But the results say like he sucks, right? Like we talked about a guy who hasn't finished top 10 a lot to that last race. So that's why that baby was ugly, but it's a smart baby. So, you know, whatever. It's like when the girl says like, you got a cool personality. That means your ass ugly. Your ass ugly. I don't know. You know, so Hayden came into this race. And I felt like with him, he was going to show up. Like I wouldn't say the opposite of Hunter, but I believe Hayden's still trending up. And every time he goes fast, he believes he's fast and he is fast. And I think he rides with that authority to where like he can mess around and win these things and become a trouble, more problems than what he is. He ain't danger boy. He's the problem child. Like that's what he is now. He's a problem for a lot of people. But I also feel like, you know, Joe Shimoda, they're my friends. He's becoming a problem, too, because Mitch Payton, even though he's switching teams, Joe has found something. And shout out to Mitch. I said in the beginning part of the season, they needed to do a voodoo dance and nobody's riding for weeks and all the stuff that's happened. Like, dude, their bikes are good. The whole team, like they look like the green version of Star Racing now. They always up front. They got a pack of riders. It's like the green claws, whatever you want to call them. They travel in packs now. So all those guys, I can't tell 55, 75, 85, 95, 105, I-4, 285, 405, god dang fives. There's so many fives in that thing. I don't know who's, I'm like, oh, it's Ryder D. Nah, that's Austin Fortner. Nah, Joe Shimoda, he's 30. So, you know, whoever. So there's a lot of fives in that, but they are all up there riding good. And Joe Shimoda came out swinging. Like, I mean, you should give him a high five because, I mean, dude, he rode good. But before I get on Far East Coast, we'll talk about Hayden Deegan again. Dude, he was rolling. Like, he was rolling. That second moto, I thought he fell. But he said, like, just, I guess it was more difficult. What up? I don't know. I don't know if I believe Hayden in the story. Like, I've seen this kid just go, you know, full beast mode on second moto. So, you know, maybe he was just, I don't know, didn't want to say the truth, whatnot. So I don't believe he just got tired like that. I don't know, but that's what he said it happened. But I was impressed. He rode with authority. He rode with authority out there. That first moto, you know, Levi, who knows what Levi does? I mean, he's like becoming the younger version of like, he looks like Kevin Windham back in the 125s on the Yamaha, but then he kind of rides like Aaron Plessinger, but then he has the tail hanging out like Jason Anderson, and then he does Levi-ish things like RJ. And what he does is like he qualifies like Cooper Webb, like 8th, 10th, and then comes out and can just win the race.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know. I'm going to have to figure out with Levi. And that's what he did. He was just there in practice. Like, I didn't even know he was racing. And he was racing. And he pulled a whole shot. Then he started pulling away. I was like, damn, that's what kind of Levi does. Like, he'd probably run away with this. But Hayden Deegan, you know, he came beast mode. He thought he was Justin Cooper in front of him. He's like, I'm about to snap this kid. So he ran him down because Levi got out to 4 or 5 seconds. And then Hayden just kept coming. And Levi didn't want that smoke. He didn't want that smoke. He wanted to keep them jeans clean. And so Levi was like, all right, you can have this. And some people, when you ride, when they're behind you, and Hayden rides like this, they just make you nervous when you're behind them. Like, you start going inside, outside, and Joe Shimoda started doing that really well the second moto when he was behind Tom Vial, just by going on the outside of him, knowing that he ain't going to pass him, just making people nervous, just making them like, I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder what he's going to do. So when Hayden's behind you, since he rides on the limiter, and you just know he don't mind knocking him down, you know, it could be a teammate, you know, you don't mind getting into it, text red wrong, you don't want none of that. So Hayden's starting to have that effect that Justin Barcia has, that Jason Anderson has, that he's starting to make people ride different when they get around them. And that's something that's like, you know, I'm impressed with the rookie. So Hayden's back there on the red limiter, and you can see Levi like, I just got these things. I just got these jeans from the mall. Like, man, don't mess up my Levi. So, you know, he's like, look, dude, just got the insurance collected on this kitchen. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Levi's like, come on, dude. I'll just take this second place. So Hayden got around him and just, you know, ran off from him. And then the second moto happened. But nonetheless, Hayden rode really good. His transition since he had the baby, he's been riding the same. The baby wasn't as pretty, but now it's starting to get a little older. And it's like one of those late bloomers. Like, it's starting like, damn, all right. You know, you didn't look that good in high school, but damn, girl, you look good. You know, so that's how Hayden was coming. And second moto, you know what? Lights came on, makeup fell off, and you're like, all right, well, maybe I'll just, you know, I don't know. I won't tell all my friends about her. Let's see how it happens. And that's what happened. But he leaves there with the red plate. And considering that, he's fine as hell. So Hayden rode really good. And then Joe Shimoda, I just think we saw it happen from Southwick. When he won that second moto, we saw how he was riding, like he was up there. And then it looked like he was nervous. And every lap that kept coming by, he was like, dang, I'm Joe Shimoda. I can do this. I'm Far East Coast. And then he got better and he got better. Then Ironman came and then he got woke. Dude, he started riding and no one was beating him. Not even Hayden. No one was getting him that day. And that's what I felt like this first this race. I think Joe Shimoda rode better than Hayden did that first race, too. He just got stuck behind those guys. But Joe's riding good. And Joe's riding with a confidence that like he just knows. I think he just knows he's better now. Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I do know what it is. But he's just found confidence. And you got to get a credit to Mitch Payton, because I would say it'd be all Joe And it's just, you know, okay, it's Joe Shimoda, but we see the confidence in that whole race team. Everybody's starting to come out and ride really good. Austin Fortner rode like good. You know, the results didn't say that. He rode good in the last chance and all day, but all those guys rode good. And I would say that's definitely because Mitch Payton, he found something that allowed these guys to get confidence in their motorcycle, which allowed these guys to start believing in themselves just as much as their equipment. And now you're starting to see the fruit. So if they continue this trend next year, they're going to be without Far East Coast, and Far East Coast is going to be on the Honda, and he's going to be fine over there. But I think Mitch is trending in the right way, and it's good for our sport because we're going to have Hondas, we're going to have Yamahas, and we're going to have Kawasaki's in the fullest. And then, of course, you got the RJ still doing RJ stuff. You got the other guys and Gaz and all the Yas guys and KTMs and all that stuff and all Husqvarna. I did say Husqvarna. You got to have all these bikes. But Joe was dominant. Joe was dominant. Now, there really, really wasn't much else to say about that because Joe had them green lights on his bike that was like, damn, that's like my, you know, Supercross 6 game. When I get the light mode, whatever it is, I can put some neons on my fenders and all. The, you know it, people, my gamers, y'all know what it is. I put them neons on the hay bales. I be balling out there. Well, Joe Shimoda had that this weekend. And I was hard on Far East Coast. I was hard. I was starting to think that he was from the West Coast because he wasn't living up to his name. Then JF was starting to get, he was getting disappointed. And I was like, Joe need to take a bitch out. Like, he need to take a bitch out because he can't pass nobody. He need to take a bitch out. Well, Joe decided, like, I ain't going to take no bitch out. Why? Because they my friends. So I'm going to just start in front of them. And I'm going to have to only pass, like, one or two people. And that's what Joe did. And Joe has been riding good for the last couple weeks. And we saw this building since he got that first win at Southwick. We saw it at Ironman, dominant. First time he ever had a 1-1. And he comes out in this format, and there was a lot of money on the line. And you would think a guy that was changing teams maybe wouldn't be into it. But no, nah. Funny, both the guys that won this weekend, they both changing teams. But Joe showed up and showed out. And Far East Coast was back. And I think, to be honest, it's going to come down between him and Hayden. And of course, when you got Hunter Lawrence as a champion and that a guy that I said won't get affected, I think those are going to be your three. But if I had to pick, if Joe comes out, wins this next one, then it's Joe time. It's Joe time on there. But you never know. You got that pesky danger boy problem child Hayden Deegan that looked, he was getting a little ugly for a while, but that's a smart baby. He's back there. But today, for the first time and the big time for the playoffs, people, we had Joe Shimoda and all these people. They were filling it out, but not Far East Coast. Joe was back, and it was good to see. So Joe Shimoda from here, for the first time ever, hit a phone call.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
You get a playoff neck burn. I don't even know what kind of neck burn that is. I'm going to have to figure it out. You had the drag strip in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the fans, they were like, they were full, but I couldn't hear him. Like, you know, Cole was like, well, maybe that's because, you know, he got all scientific on me and saying, well, there ain't no walls, bounce all the stuff out. Like, I don't care about that. But Joe didn't, he didn't care either. So Joe rode good. And Tom Vial, like, shout out to him. Dude rode well. I mean, all these guys really did. You know, but I just think Joe rode better. And that was it. So congrats, Joe. It's Joe time.
So, I actually got a question for you on that topic.
You got a question for me?
Yeah.
What?
Is it, so someone like Tom, is the success because it was a little bit more of a high-speed hybrid, or is Tom coming into form, and what made Joe with this track? Is it bike setup? Is it mental confidence?
Yeah, it's a good, bad question, Cole. Good, bad question. No, it's a good question. I think Tom Vial, So in Europe, MXGP, they do have a few tracks that are like this on Speedway, where they ride in this format. So I don't think it's uncommon to him like Supercross was. I think Supercross is new, you know, like when he showed up here, that's new for maybe first time he ever went through whoops. But this stadium style, this Speedway style, they do have that in the GP, even though it's maybe even kind of like this. They do have a lot of jumps. Supercross, the one I seen, it was like a full sand track. So I think Tom he rode good at Ironman. He started riding good the last few races. I just think it was the layout of the track that there wasn't the Supercross part, which was the only part I would say that maybe he wasn't the best in, like the one section, I'd be like, okay, Joe looked better and more racier there, where Tom was just trying to make the stuff. He didn't look bad, but that's where Joe was catching him at. I just think it was more, it was familiar. He's taking the confidence of the motocross series. And people, don't forget, this dude is a world champion, two-time world champion. Like, he knows how to do this. In fact, he has more championship credibility than anybody in that class. So if you look at from that standpoint, how to win races, he's the best. He's even better than Hunter Lawrence. Like, well, maybe they got tied in championship, but this dude knows how to win races on a world format. He's just over here doing it for the first time. And yeah, I think in his eyes, like, look, he won a race. He did better in Supercross. Like, I mean, he was fine at the first race. Then he had a couple feet flying off here and there. But overall, I didn't say like, man, whoo, he got a long ways to go when I watched him Supercross. So that's a win. And in motocross, I think we felt like second motos, he was always trending up. He had his moments. And I think when he was starting to trend, he got hurt at the end of the race, at the end of the year. So overall, I think we're just seeing a guy that's next year going to show up for Supercross with a year in his belt, ride more like this. I do believe he'll be a championship threat in Supercross next year. Like, he'll win a race. Will he win the title? I don't know. But then motocross, he'll be a threat. He'll be a real threat. He'll be up there. So I think this, with the layout, everything else, it was just more the confidence, him being here. It's not unfamiliar, where if this was a traditional Supercross track, then it would be another change where he's going from motocross to Supercross, where a thing that he hasn't done. I just think he knows how to ride. And like I said, he's got more credentials than anybody in that field. And winning, he's got more wins and titles than anybody in that field. And so I think that's what we're seeing with him.
So what about Joe?
Oh, you did ask about Joe. I thought I'd just explain everything you need to know about Joe time. Well, Joe's just good. Like, ever since Joe came into the 250 class as a rookie, like, I've always expected Joe. Like, I knew he had talent. I watched him at the Monster Cup. I was like, damn, dude, he's good. And then, like, he didn't talk because he didn't know English. Like, he didn't talk. And I was like, all right, well, I can't figure out what he's feeling, but that kid's good when he was on Geico Honda. And then we all know what happened. And then I just think with Joe, it's just the combination of the definition of a team and bike meeting on the same level, like team bike and rider. They met, they on top. And when you get these guys, as good as they are and as good as Joe is, you give him a bike that he feels comfortable on, the team feels they believe in him because they keep him around. And Joe has been a top Kawasaki guy. And Joe was a championship contender. Every championship that he lined into, we mentioned his name, that he could possibly win. I think we're just seeing the guy that we thought we were going to see. And he believes after that 1-1, big win, confidence. I don't know what to say is like what he's... Joe's doing what I thought he would do. So to me, it's not surprising. This is the guy I thought was going to be there. And I just underestimated or didn't realize that he was struggling that much with the bike or whatever, or maybe wasn't struggling that much with the bike. The bike wasn't where he wanted to be, which made his confidence. And all these riders, including, everyone, if they're not on it and they don't believe in the bike or they don't, something's off, everybody's too damn close and they're all too good to where you can be like riding at 90% and get like eighth, you know, like, and Joe could like ride okay and get 10th. You know, but when Joe's on it, like he is here, Joe will beat everybody on this field. And I think now he just, like, the win last weekend, the win at Southwick, that's where it started at. That win, whatever change Mitch did, that win caused him to win this race right here. So I wouldn't say this is about what Joe did this weekend. It's about what Joe is continuing to do. And now we're just seeing Joe believe that when he shows up at the race, he's going to do that again. So don't be surprised at what he's doing. The results in the last few weekends of motocross, ever since Southwick, shouldn't be surprised that this dude's doing that because we all knew he was that good. So it's still time.
So last question, going off of what you've seen out of Joe and where he's going next year, how does that bike fit him and his style?
Yeah. So with Joe moving, switching teams, Okay, so a lot of riders, I would say some riders fit certain bikes better. Like their riding style fits, you know, a Honda or a Suzuki better. I think Joe, the way he rides fits every bike. I don't think any bike's going to make a difference because he has a good style. And sometimes he rides with his arms down, but that's kind of like the new, like, age, you know, the Lawrence, Jet Lawrence, and they're kind of trending the elbows back up. But it got down for a while. And the way Joe moves around on a bike or doesn't move around, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, where some guys, you know, like if I put Hayden, like maybe on a KTM, I feel like Hayden can outride that bike because the frame could be flexy too much. Or if, you know, say a guy like Hunter Lawrence, if you put him on a bike that's on the front end a lot, like he might not ride that good because if he doesn't trust the front end, then he rides on the front end. So Joe rides pretty neutral and he doesn't do anything where I'm like, damn, he's going to override that motorcycle. So to answer your question, I think Joe's going to be fine. You know, I think he's going to be on the team where he's got his friends with Hunter Lawrence, Jet Lawrence. He's probably going to be riding with him. He's got Chance Hymens that is going to be back next year. So if he don't do well, he's going to be getting beat by him. His Chance comes back and continues what he's doing. So Joe's going to be in the same spot as Hunter Lawrence was this year, where he's going to be riding with Lawrence's. So he's going to know the best of the best every week. He's going to have Chance, the guy that's probably not as good as him right now, but could be. So he's going to have to keep stepping up his game. So he's going to know what that pace is. And if you listen to the 450 class and you heard Ken Roczen, the reason why Ken Roczen felt comfortable this weekend is because he said he was riding with Chase. So he knew where his pace was. So going into this weekend, that was the one thing he wasn't worried about. He said, well, I can run with this dude during the week, and I know he's pretty damn fast. I know Jet been pretty good, but I had my luck against him. So if you hear Ken, he wasn't worried about that. And Rodders, look, we worried about getting tired. You know, like, of course, you know, you ain't training. You're like, damn, I'm going to get tired. But the biggest thing that we are afraid of is if we ain't fast. If we don't feel like we're fast, that shit ain't going to last. And that's a fact. So if we come in there, like I know going into season, if I knew I was fast, I'd get in shape. I'll roll these rolls off. I ain't worried about that. But the only time I was ever worried is when I wasn't comfortable and I felt like I wasn't as fast as I could be, or I knew that pace ain't gonna get it done. And if you're not fast, you ain't gonna win. That's facts. I don't care how good a shape you're in. Like, you gotta have speed. You need speed. So Ken Roczen, he felt like he had speed, and that's why Ken was riding good. He knew he's gonna get tired, whatever. They all gonna get tired. So back to Joe, I think he's gonna figure all that out. He's gonna go off of this momentum. No matter what happens, Joe has figured out something. He's gonna switch a team that he just watched win everything. They just won everything. And the only time anybody's stopping that is either a blue bike, which we know they're pretty good, and Joe time. So I believe he's gonna be fine. The Honda's gonna fit him well. And so to answer your question, I think Joe's going to ride just like he did right then. If he feels comfortable, he's going to look just like that. So he'd be fine. So the 450 class. Now, this is the one class that we were all interested to see what was going to happen, because we just ended the outdoors of pure domination by Jet Lawrence. I mean, it's been, what was your stat call about the Lawrences? They've been on the podium, what?
They've been on one. Lawrence has been on the podium in the last like 700 or something days.
So for like 2 years now.
Yeah, that's right.
Five out of four people, right? Five out of four people. It's been pure domination by the Lawrence boy. I'm thinking about changing my last name. Like, shoot, James Lawrence doesn't have the same as JS, but it'll work. But nonetheless, it's been a domination by Jet Lawrence. So coming into this round, we were all curious that with the new format, because it's not a new season, but with the new format being at the playoffs, you got Cooper Webb coming back. You got Ken Roczen coming back. Little thorns in your side. Ken Roczen was one of my dark horse picks coming into this, because of this format, because I know when I saw Ken Rod last, he rode good. Even over at the World Supercross, I watched him. He looked good. And, you know, speaking of Ken, just quickly, I think Ken's in a good spot. He's in a good spot mentally. And I felt like with you know, knowing Ken just a little bit, but just on the outside looking in, just his riding and.
Sorry.
What the f*** are you doing?
I just double checked my fact. It was 588 days. I just didn't want to sound like an idiot.
You do sound like an idiot. You do sound like an idiot. You went from 783, what?
I just said 700 something.
700 something to 500 something.
588.
588. Why you get that number right? I mean, that's still. It's a lot of days.
It's a year and a half.
Year and a half. Oh, you can know a year and a half. Well, anyways, they've been on the podium a year and a half. I thought it was 2 years because of the information that the guy who's running this show, doing all this stuff, the guy that you can't see, but always interrupting, taking pees, just interrupting. It's his show. It's the Cold Beats show. I'm just happening to be a part. I'm a guest on Cold Beats show. It ain't the rewind. It's the Cold Beats show.
Well, my math was wrong because your math was wrong, and you know.
I didn't even say anything. How would I even know how many damn times? Every time I've seen them, they've been on the podium, but I was. Anyways, so it's been a pure domination about Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence. Back to Roxanne, though.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He picked this team. He chose to go ride Suzuki. He's doing Supercross only. I mean, even when he sat on the show and he told us what he wanted to do, he just had like an energetic, spunk in his attitude. Back then, we all were like, all right, like, is he just telling himself this or is this how he feel? But in Supercross, if you remember, people, like, we didn't have what was happening years past. Like, Ken was fighting. He got his race win. But we saw Ken come out win the first race and when he was on Honda and struggle. And the same thing happened outdoors. It always seemed like the latter part of the year, he would struggle. Well, this year, I feel like Ken's been riding really good, consistent, looks happy. You know, baby daddy, all these different things. Watching him in World Supercross. Well, my point is, he's been able to choose the races he's been able to, like, he wanted to go to. I feel like everything's in Ken's life. It's kind of been his decision lately. You know, he's working with Larry Brooks, and Larry Brooks is good at keeping you motivated when you're off season, motivating a lot of things. So Ken coming in, he was riding with Chase, felt like he had a good pace. He just looked energetic. So just thinking of how good Ken Roczen is in general, he was a sneaky pick, but then knowing those things, I felt like Ken could do well. And Ken did good. Like, he did good. I think the fitness came in just because he hasn't been racing motocross, you know, recently. That comes in. We saw it happen with Hayden Deegan, and he has been racing. So that's not a knock. It's just normal. A lot of people got that way. But Ken looked good. Ken was doing Ken things. He was, besides Chase Sexton just being on it that day and Jet Lawrence being the champion that he is, like, Ken was better than everybody else. He was really good. So Ken got out front, pulled away from him. Chase just ran him down. So I think that leading into next weekend, Ken's still going to be there. And I think Ken's, again, back in a happy spot. But going to Chase Sexton and Jet Lawrence, that was a battle that we were looking at. We saw how it ended the outdoors and Chase being frustrated at the last race. But coming into this race, I said earlier that I didn't pick Jet Lawrence to continue going undefeated. Even though Jet Lawrence, he could still be the title favorite and he still probably can win this title. I just feel like the likelihood of going undefeated, this format of nobody knowing, I saw this layout of this track and I knew one bad start would cause this issue. And the fact is, this first race was really important for Chase Sexton, Ken Roczen, everyone outside of Jet Lawrence. I mean, it was important for him as well, but in a different way. And the reason why it was important is because you don't want to end Saturday as if like the last previous Saturdays. You don't want that. So if I'm Chase Sexton, I don't want to end up like I was at Ironman in the previous races. And what I mean by that is that if I allow Jet Lawrence to come in the Supercross format or whatever this format is, the playoffs, and beat me again, then everything that has been happening in the past, it's going to continue happening. The mindset's going to stay the same. Jet's going to still believe that he can do whatever he wants. He can win. And that confidence level, as I said, in outdoors, Chase wasn't racing Jet to win the race. He was racing Jet to win for next year. It was about next year. It's about, because he was out of the championship. He needed to beat Jet for his own mindset to continue on the offseason to get him next year. So coming in, everybody, Jason Anderson, all those guys, they wanted to come in and hopefully it's a restart, try to beat Jet. Well, you saw in that first race, them boys were jumping, dude. They were jumping. They were not happy. It was like when you were being upset and you finally get a chance to slap somebody and you slap them like multiple times. Like, you're like, dude, I blacked out all that fire and hate. I mean, AC was out there giving them some. AC came in. He was like, da, da, da. He was going to give them. And they were bumping Jet around. And It started from first practice. Jet looked like he struggled. You know, he qualified like 10th. I think there was something wrong with his tires or whatnot. Then he came out that second practice and was a second faster. We were like, all right, here we go. But I knew by watching him, I'm like, dude, I'm like, his bike looks too stiff to me. Like, so knowing that this track's going to break down, I think he's going to struggle. And that first race, we saw him, and I said something on the broadcast. I saw him land off the finish line and sit down right before that next roller. And that's when I knew, I'm like, wait, that, like, no one sits down right there. And the only time you would sit down is if you're like tired or you can't hold on. Well, he does that. And then he, like, the same lap or a lap later, he falls. And you could just see his bike dancing around like he was uncomfortable, like he had an arm pump. And I think that was the same thing I saw with his brother. His brother didn't like an arm pump, but you just saw a difference in Jet Lawrence. Like, he was having a hard time turning. His bike was up. And Chase Sexton looked the opposite. I felt like as that race was going on, Jet was not coming up. And I was giving Chase confidence because he could see Jet was still staying in the same spot. And I've been there before. I've seen, like, I'm out front, even though, like, let's say it was Ricky or Chad or whoever it is, I'm watching them back in 10th place. Like, I'm out front, but I'm watching them. I don't care about who else is behind me. I'm watching whoever I think is my biggest competition. And if I don't see them moving up and I see those same people in front of them, it gives me confidence. And then I start getting more confidence and I start riding. And what a true story, this happened in Dallas, 2014. At that time, Ryan Villopoto was number one plate. He had the red plate. He was my biggest threat. And I was at Dallas. I just beat him at San Diego that week before. I beat him straight up, confidence. But in Dallas, I got up front. Dungy was in front of me. I got around Dungy, but I was, sure enough, I was paying attention to Ryan Villopoto, RV. He was in like sixth, and he kept staying in sixth, and he kept staying in sixth. And even though, like, he was there, it allowed me to get more confidence because Dungy was still right there, and Brayton was there, and Roczen was there. But I wasn't worried about them. It allowed me, because Villopoto was in sixth, it allowed me to start pulling away from Dungy because I saw Villopoto staying behind those guys, which is telling me that he ain't feeling good and that he ain't gonna catch me because he ain't even passed the dudes in front of him, which allowed me to pull away. I feel like with that this weekend, we saw that with Chase Sexton. Jet Lawrence was where he was, and he wasn't able to pass those guys. And every lap, I saw Chase get more confidence because he was making a few mistakes. I mean, as everybody was, but then he clicked in the zone, and then he just ran away from him. And I think all that was dictated off of, look, Chase feels like he's better, and I've been saying all year that I think Chase was faster in a lot of spots. Just Chase kept making mistakes, and the way the track layout, considering that Chase is really good on speedway style tracks. He's good at Daytona. He's good at Atlanta. This did look like Atlanta, except for didn't have as many jumps. But overall, I felt like Chase was going to come in this confidence. And he is a Supercross champion. And I said this anytime you win a Supercross champion, like, you deserve it. It's your championship. Don't matter who's in or what, don't matter what we think. He deserved it. And he won that title. He shows up with the red plate. So that's a change. So when you see that red plate on your bike, just gives you confidence right there. He hasn't seen that all year since Supercross. He hasn't even led lap all year. So he led the lap. His biggest competition looks like he's struggling. Then he knows he goes down and Chase runs away, wins that race. Well, fast forward to the second moto. Then it was on. Jet bike looked better. They softened that thing up. And Jet was trying to come up. And Chase, because he was able to win that first moto, because he feels confidence, because Chase is that good. Jet put in hot laps. Chase put in hot laps. And don't underestimate what just happened. Like, Chase was able to stop Jet Lawrence from coming up and catching him. Jet was coming. Chase was able to answer that. And you can just tell, like, that moment, that momentum, it was so big for Chase. And that's why I go back to what I said in the beginning part, how this race was really important for all those guys outside of Jet Lawrence to stop what was just going. Because no matter what Chase did that first moto, if Jet would have came up and beat him, no matter, Chase was still going to win overall. If Jet would have beat Chase that moto, it would have been a whole different scenario. Like, he would have said, yeah, well, I'm still good, but damn, the only reason I won that first moto, he probably was struggling. He probably fell. But him beating him that second moto makes him think, well, yeah, I knew I'm better. Put Supercross, I'm a better Supercross rider. You know, this is all my bike, all these issues that outdoors, that was just outdoors. Now I'm back in my home thing. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. And what he thought coming in outdoors and what he thought every time he raced Jet, he thought he was better than that guy. And hey, he is. And sometimes he wasn't. Jet was really good. But this weekend, it was like he was able to, Chase, that is, was able to like put those belief of what he thought was true. He was able to execute that. Now going to Chicago, new race. Now I think it's important for Jet Lawrence to answer the bell. Like, so I think that emphasis, where Chase is still going to have that emphasis, because I don't think he believes that Jet's just another guy now. I don't think he believes that. And I do believe from Chase's standpoint for next year, because, you know, it is double points. So 6 points, 14, like, yeah, you know, the championship, we got a ways to get before we got there. But I do believe if Chase can knock him off again and do what he did that second moto, then we're talking going into the offseason that no matter what happens that last race, you just beat this dude after not beating him all year. You beat him straight up. Jet's going to be worried about you. You're going to have that confidence. So going into this weekend in Chicago, you got Chase trying to replicate what he just did, to let him know that it just didn't happen. Your bike's whatever. I'm sure you guys are going to make changes, whatever. But I'm Chase Sexton. I got Supercross stuff on, and I'm better than you, son. Like, I'm better than you. I just beat you last weekend. I do it again this weekend. Oh, hell, it's going to break loose. And you got Jet Lawrence saying, wait a minute. That 22-0 was not just outdoors. Like, I just had an off weekend. I'm coming back here and solidify that I'm the greatest. So you're going to have Jet coming into this race trying to prove that, look, last weekend was a fluke, and you're going to have Chase trying to prove last weekend wasn't a fluke, that the outdoors were. And I think we're going to have some good ass racing between those two. And of course, you got Ken Roczen, you got Jason Anderson, and all those other guys, they're going to be in there. But I think Chase kind of helped them out, you know, like Chase showed them that he could be beat. So the problem is for Jet Lawrence is like, once these guys feel like one person can beat you, then they all feel like they can beat you. We go back to Supercross. What did I say? When Eli beat Chase at Houston, what it did for even Cooper Webb, what it did for other guys, Chase was that much faster. Eli was still able to beat him in that main event, told those guys that no matter how fast Chase is, we still can get him. We still can get him. Well, I feel like this is that situation. And per se, the reason I say that is because look what happened that first moto. When they sniffed the opportunity that somebody else led a lap, Chase was in front of him. Everybody was jumping him, passing him. Anderson got him, you know, Varsha, like everybody was getting a piece of Jet AC. So Chase winning this race is like everybody else is more on his side, because they're like, damn, I don't want this it continue happening. And Jet knows that. So I think we're in for a hell of a playoff round two. I think we are. Now, I can talk about bike setup. Jet bike, it was stiff. It was stiff. Chase bike, a little bit softer. Like, and, you know, we saw his bike at Unadilla. I thought Chase bike has been pretty good since Unadilla. It looks softer. Where Jet struggled at first moto, Chase bike had a little double D effect. Well, this weekend, again, Chase looked better, ride better, confidence up. He was good in practice. Jet, yeah, I know he went fast, but just confidence, red plate. He was all good. Jet will be better. He was better that second moto. He'll be better next year, this weekend with a point to prove. So going into this weekend, we're going to have a good race. But this weekend, we saw something we haven't seen in a long time. We haven't seen this in a long time. Now, I don't even know how to do this because I've been saying every time I say it, I'm like, yeah, hit him with a fire call, neck burn, Jet Lawrence, Lawrence brother, Hunter Lawrence, Horn Lawrence. I haven't said Chase in a long time. Like, damn. You know, it's been since May since I said something about Chase. Because, I mean, maybe it was April. I don't know when the last Supercross race was. Last time he won it, was the last time he won it.
May.
But May. Okay, it's been a long time. Mayday, Mayday. That's how it was out there. You're like, Mayday, 4-4. What is it? SOS? Someone help me? I don't know. Someone on Sexton? Whatever it is. But this weekend, I'm going to have to switch it up. And what we got was Chase Sexton doing something that he hasn't done since Mayday. And that was hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Congrats, Chase. It's about damn time. I've been telling you, like, dude, I think you're faster, man. I've been, like, sending other people, like, damn, James, why are you saying Chase fast? He can beat. I'm like, nah, dude, like, I mean, Chase, maybe dude going fast. Yeah, you fall over, but, you know, that's what happens. You go fast. Sometimes you be driving too damn fast, and then you get ticket. Like, if you drive speed limit, you'll never get a ticket. But when you want to push that limit, you got to get late on thing. Things happen. So I've been saying that all year, and Chase was able to come out and do it. Now, he's got to do it again, but you can tell in his voice and all the confidence. I mean, he feels pretty confident. He knows he's been able to do this the whole time. He's got a better setup. Put them Supercross forks on. Should have done that outdoors. If that was the case, put him on. He's back, which is good because we need him back. So we're going to have a good race, people. But Chase, congratulations. You haven't let a lap since May Day. But this weekend, you let it, and you showed that boy what's up. So congrats, kid. All right, people. That was the 450-250 class. What we saw is Joe time. And we saw Chase Sexton do his thing. And we didn't even have to. He got a neck burn. I don't even know what's up. But we got to get to this Oakley student stews because I'm kind of confused. I didn't mention the Lawrence board winning a neck burn. Confusing. We'll be right back. What's up, guys? Your boy JS7. Look, if you ain't got time to watch our whole video, which I don't know why you don't, make sure you go here and subscribe and check out our new channel where we're going to have some smaller clips, some clips that you haven't seen on our main show just for y'all. So make sure you subscribe, click, comment, do whatever you do. Watch our whole show, but come to this channel as well. Check out our stuff. See you there.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
My bad. What's up, guys? Just mixing my AG1 mix right now. It's been a long weekend, been a long season. Something I do every day, mix my clip. I know it doesn't look that good, but it's good for you. It's keeping me sharp on my feet. Helps keeps my energy up, it's easy. And as you see, I'm mixing mines. And if you're traveling like I've been, and you ain't got time to sit here and mix it, which I do right now, make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World to get 1 year free vitamin D and 5 travel packs. That is athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World to get your free 1 year supply. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Oakley Stews and Stews. All right, first, you know what we're going to do. And we've been doing it all year. It seems like we've been doing it a lot. And I've had this thing on auto repeat. I was almost going to tell a coach, just use the one from like a couple weekends ago. You know, just put like somebody else, like Siri. I have Siri change the name of where we at, because it's always Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence. Like, congratulations. Well, Hunter been struggling, you know, like, you know, he almost got kicked out of the house. But Stu, which is what Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence is always a Stu. He was always winning, kept signing a number of plays. Chase Sexton, he was winning in Supercross, but I haven't said his name in a while. And then I was giving other people Stus just because they were out there like they were doing it. Then I stopped doing that default Stu because I'm like, no, you just got to win the race. But Stu, better than everybody else, coming out like you just got beat all these times and you just showed up and you just came back from the dead and you just showed up and showed out. Stu, so first, I'm going with Chase Sexton. I'm putting you on this list first. Why? Because I couldn't transition to get Joe Shimoda in this, so it just fit. Just felt like you needed to be first, which you were. So Chase Sexton, you came back. Now, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. We always like sitting here and I kept defending you. I was like, damn, like he's going faster down them hills, but you know, he's faster, but the lap times say he wasn't faster than segment times. I even went to the damn segments. I thought you put the segments in there, you'd be faster. Cause I was trying to say, like, nah, dude, he's pretty good. You know, he's just not doing it right now. But you came this weekend and you saw your bike. And you saw it wasn't Michael Jordan out there with the red plate and the Chicago Bulls. It was Chase Sexton, the red plate holder. And you remember, you were like, damn, I'm pretty good. I'm your defending Supercross champion. I won this thing. And yeah, I know this rookie was out here dominating, and I was out. You know, I hit my head first race, took off a couple weekends, came back, and I was struggling, but I was there. I was there. And you showed up this weekend with that red plate, and you wanted to let him know that it was your house. You put on the Supercross forks, stiff forks. That means Sexton time. And you came out, and you dominated, son. You dominated. Yeah, I know. He was out there. They were all jumping him. Y'all jumped on dude, but you came out second motor. He was trying to run you down. You said, nope, I'm going to 213 and Chase Sexton. You a Stu. You a Stu. Congratulations, kids. By damn time, been telling you. Like, do something. Do something, and you did it. So congrats, kid. For reals. That was awesome. Back it up again. Salt Lake. Salt Lake. That was the last time you won. Chicago. Which is the home of the Chicago Bulls in the 23. But anyway, Chase Sexton, you a Stu. Now, my next Stu is, of course, it's Joe time. Joe, look, it ain't no more average Joe. That thing, nothing about you average. The only thing that might be average is your winning average. You just dominating. But dude, you out there like dominant. You out there, you and Mitch Payton, Nick Way, all y'all be just bumping and stuff. And every time you come up, you like, you just look so happy. They my friends. You just look happy. Like, I don't think I've ever seen, it's like a guy that just dominated and that know he's going to win, but he's surprised when he wins and just happy that he like won. It's just like, it's Joe. I just want to give you a hug. Joe, you a Stu. Now, the last race, it was dominant. This race was even more dominant. And you want some cheddar. You want some cheese. Just the playoffs, baby. You know what time it is. You in the format, playoff. I know, Hayden Deegan, I'm going to give you a Stu too because you were out there. You breaking everybody. Like, and then I don't know what happened in the second motor, but it happened in the second motor, but you came out here with the red plate. So I'm going to give you a mini Stu because you won one of the races and both of y'all are technically with the red plates. So we'll see. So Hayden, you a Stu. Joe, you a tremendous Stu. And all the rest of my cats, y'all good. Ken Roxon, you did good. AC was out. Good to see you. And Cooper Webb, I know the results wasn't what you wanted, but hey, don't sleep on dude. Telling right now, I saw the press day, and even from practice, Cooper Webb going to be good next year. Cooper Webb looked different. He looked different. Now, look, he was back there doing his thing, you know, like Cooper ain't going to shine. You know, I don't even know what happened because I can only watch what, you know, they show him two, but I was able to watch the other videos. Cooper, you straight. So, well, I don't know if he'll win one this playoffs, whatever, but Cooper going to be good next year. I'm telling y'all right now. Stamp it. Mark it. Anyways. So those are my Stus, Joe Shimoda, Hayden Deegan, and Chase Sexton. Y'all, stupendous Stus. For reals. Kid, good job. Good job. Jet, you cool? You cool? All right, my next list. Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because, like, you know, you thought all these people were your friends, and they were, like, cutting you off, and then you were like, damn, man, I just went undefeated. that came out here, and it's like, man, I was like 10th the first race, whatever I got. And then my brother was out there. He was like riding pretty good, but then he was like, he just kept falling out. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then I was like, Hayden Deegan was out here like dominant, like whipping it. And oh, I don't even know. Then they talking about this playoff format. Like, wait, how did I win all these races and somebody else comes with the red flag? It was just a lot. Wait, no, this is confused. Why? Confused because like, I just now understood this whole segment and this whole playoff format. We've been talking about getting here all year long, and it's confusing that it's not confusing to me because now I know what it is. It's round 29 of the first round of the playoffs, but the first time we've ever done this. But it's a new series, but it's an old series. We in Charlotte, but we never raced here before, but we have raced here before right across the street. I've never been there. The airport was confusing as hell because I was walking through it and I'm like, this place is a dump. Then I walked on this place. I was like, damn, this is nice. So I was confused as hell where I was. And I was driving down the road. I was like, oh, snap, JGR. This is where it was. And I was lost. I was lost. Then my flight got canceled. They just sent me a text today saying my flight got canceled. It was confusing as hell. I don't know where I was going, but it was confusing, just like this segment. So that's my list. There's nobody on this list.
Well, I think you were trying to say that
I wasn't trying to say anything.
The playoffs were confused. Everyone was confused until understanding what the playoffs were.
Whatever Cole just said, that's the way it was. You were confused. Now you ain't confused anymore. What I was saying, people, is that just like the playoffs, until we got here, the Riders didn't know. I didn't know. They still don't know, but what we do know is Chase Sexton won, but Jet Lawrence don't feel like he lost. And Chase came in, the person who hasn't won since May, but he showed up with the red plate. And the guy who's won everything since May showed up in like third, which confusing. So, but after this weekend, we got a better performance. And the next weekend, you can win. And then like, but you can get 9 3 points, you can get 6 points. And then the following weekend, you can get 10 points or 9 points. It was confusing. But if you watch the show, just watch and see who wins. And the next weekend, they show up the red plate or with the green light on it. That's who's winning. Simple as that. I don't know how else to make it confusing or not confusing, but that's the way it is. So the playoffs, honestly, people, it was cool. It was really cool. This sport needed something like that. I know we talk about this confusing ass segment. I make fun of it, but I got to give a shout out to AMA, Feld, MX Sport, the whole sport in general, because you might not like this group, that group, whatever. You love this one over that, but we all needed to come together. And to be honest, the reason you got better racing this year is because we have this playoff format. Guys have been racing, not like anybody else. Jet Lawrence still going to do what Jet Lawrence did. Chase is going to try as hard as he did. The top guys, they're going to do what they do, but I do believe guys that come back from injuries, they came back from injuries to get ready for this series that they didn't know about, but they knew they were going to come. And a lot of these things, even for the privateers, it's life-changing money here. And that wouldn't have happened unless we would have came together. So I'm not selling it. I'm telling the truth. And I wish I was coming back out here racing. If you don't like it, get it. I don't really care. But honestly, shout out to all those guys because this sport did need this. And for whatever reason, what made it change, it was a good thing that happened. And we're starting to see the fruition of what's happening today. The Riders enjoy it. You haven't heard one of them at all say they don't like this format. And truly, it's only one more race than what it has been in years. Like, it's literally one more race, and they all enjoy it. So shout out to all those guys. Whole TV package is here because we've done this. So you guys get to watch it on TV and miss all these races and not miss these races because all this. So it was cool. So I just wanted to say that, to be honest with you, it's really cool. Our sport needed it and our sport got it. And the Riders are reaping the benefit just like your boy because I'm here. And that was it from round 29, the first round of the playoff, people. Where we saw Chase Sexton and Joe Tom do his thing. And you'll see your boy this weekend at Chicago, which I think they got a video of me flipping the truck because that was the only time I was up in Chicago. I was either at home watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls do their things or JS was flipping the truck. Either way, we're going to watch these guys at round two, Chicagoland, round 30, playoffs, where we're going to see what we're going to see. And we'll be back here next Tuesday. Until then, people, y'all know what to do. Chase Sexton, good job. Joe time is my time to get the hell out of here. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.